we are going to continue in Galatians. So we know we're looking at the book of Galatians, and right now I am in chapter 4, the verse 8 to 31, so you can turn to your Bible if you want. I'm going to put the passage on the screen, but the passage is super long, so I'm not going to read it out, but you're going to see, you know, it behind me, so that you could follow if you want. But however, I would really say, just go home and read it for yourself as well, so you can, you know, say, oh, that would help you to as well remember what we've been talking about, okay? So you can always go home and read it in very detailed way. So have you noticed that in Galatians, that actually it's the only letter where Paul does not start with thanksgiving, but he goes straight onto the subject? Because in his eyes, the topic of Galatians is actually absolutely vital and important. So he doesn't waste any time. He goes straight into the subject. And actually, it's a bit of a tell the Galatians off kind of letter, because Paul basically is calling them foolish, you know. So he's not making like nice little comment, or he's not trying to go with a pinch of salt. He's telling them, you foolish Galatian, you know. You've been saved by grace. You were meant to walk now by the Spirit of God, but instead of walking with God and being transformed by the relationship that you have with God and the Holy Spirit, what you've done is you've gone back to the law and following some kind of rules, thinking that's going to be your salvation. So he's telling them off because it's super important. He said, look, you're going to not make yourself a good person by following rules or by trying to have good behavior. In reality, your own effort, it's useless to be either saved or transformed. You have to recognize God's power to be transformed from within. So that's why he's telling them off, because it's super important. It's like the basic of the gospel of grace, okay? So today we're following chapter 4. And what's interesting is you have a repeat again at the beginning. Those verses there's this same sense of urgency. You know, there's words like, I'm concerned, I'm perplexed. What are you doing returning to this miserable enslavement of the law? You know, what are you doing? That, you know God and you have been known by God. What would you consider returning to a relationship with rules? An observation of rituals, what would you even consider it? So he's like, have I wasted my time, he's saying. It's like, really, you know, it's important. He's going for it, really. And then the second part of this chapter, okay, which is a little bit longer, he actually proceeds to tell them the story of Hagar and Sarah, okay? And that's what I want to focus on today. And basically, we're going to see that Paul uses Hagar and Sarah as an allegory. That means there's two meanings to the story. So on the surface level, he's talking about two women who had two sons. But the deeper level is drawing you to say, look at the two women, their story and the two sons. That actually, it's telling us something about two types of religion or two types of faith. You know, one is under the old covenant and one is on the new covenant, the gospel of grace. So I'm going to unpack that because that's the hard bit in the passage, okay? But like I said, please go and read it for yourself and do like me, highlight, oh, that's the bit that goes with that bit. That goes, you know, that's how you read the Bible. You can totally get that by reading yourself. It's just taking your time and understanding what is he saying there. So let me first start by a little background. Okay. Do you remember the story of Hagar and Sarah? Is it, you know, I know it's a little niche, okay? So you remember God made a promise to Abraham that he will have a multitude of descendants. And the problem is Abraham and Sarah, they didn't manage to have children. And it was years and years, decade again, to the point that we are told Sarah is in old age, so it doesn't look really awful at all that she can actually even bear physical children. So the poor woman is desperate, right? Desperate, I always say that wrong. Desperate, Desperate. Thank you. Sorry. So she is. And so guess what they did in front of this really difficult situation. Guess what they did. Instead of trusting God and the promise, they took matters in their own hand. And they decide they're going to give God a little help. Isn't it? We're all a bit like that, are we? We're all a bit like that. Oh, it's not working out. Instead of trusting God, what we do is say, well, I think I'm going to give God a little bit of help, you know? And basically, Sarah then took her maid servant, you know, Hagar, and she said, okay, you sleep with my husband effectively and bear the child of the promise. Because she was so desperate. She took matter in her own hand. Of course, it was a bit of an ill-conceived plan, and it was not really what God had in mind. And that ended up having quite a lot of friction for the family and some consequences, obviously. However, God, in his faithfulness, still comes through and gives Sarah a son named Isaac, okay, in her really old age. And eventually, Isaac would be in the lineage of Jesus, and we know the promise of Abraham said that his seed will carry many, 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 many descendants. As we know that through that, the gospel arrived, and we are even the descendant in faith, that, you know, through Jesus, we got salvation. Okay? So that's the story, okay? Just a little thing before I get into Hagar and Sarah. When we don't trust God and we take matter in our own hand, you know things can go wrong. You know things can go wrong, okay? And yes, there's sometimes consequences, okay? Because we stepped out of God's perfect will. So therefore, yeah, okay, we might have to deal with some consequences. And in their case, the family obviously had to split, and Hagar was sent away because the discord was so bad. The son were fighting. So Hagar was sent away, the family is ripped apart. And we know as well that that's the root of the feud that modern day would say between the Jews and the Arabs. That's the root, okay? They both come from Abraham, and then there's a root there. There's a discord that is right there. So we could see these consequences. However, I don't want to dwell on the consequences today. What I see as well is incredible grace and forgiveness from God. Because you see, God didn't come and say, tough luck, Sarah, you blew it. You blew it, tough for you, die barren, and you won't have any children. He didn't say that. He didn't go to Abraham, okay, well, what are we going to do now? Is it this son now, or is it, you know what I mean? He didn't punish them. He didn't took the promise away, which is mind-blowing. He didn't took the promise away. You know, he came in his faithfulness, and he still fulfilled the promise he made, okay? To the point that when you read in the New Testament, Hebrew 11, Abraham and Sarah, it's noted, they were people of great faith, and their obedience is praised. That's incredible, isn't it? Their obedience and their faith is praised. So what God remembered is, they stick to me. They stick to me. Okay, they messed up, but they stick to me. They stick to me. Now, what is funny, we know that, but what is interesting as well is even Hagar, the servant, okay? So if you read in Genesis 16, Hagar is cast away, but still she meet God in the desert. And God says, don't worry, I've got you. I will provide for your needs. And she's so moved by the encounter with God. She says, oh, you're the God of the seeing. You have seen me. Poor servant, you still have seen me. And what is really extraordinary is he said to her, that she will also inherit a great nation. So he actually now extended some aspect of the promises to her and say, okay, I've got you back. This is not your own doing. You will also have a great nation. Interesting, no? The grace of God. So now Paul uses this story to illustrate two types of covenant that we have in the Bible, actually. We've got the Old Testament and the New Testament. One is the Old Covenant and one is the New Covenant. And what is a covenant? A covenant is an agreement made by God to his people, and that basically is the basis of the relationship between God and his people. Okay? And we were going to see that the basis of this relationship with his people is very different in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Okay? So that's what we're looking at. Okay. So I'm going to go through, I've just literally filled up, this table is literally the passage, I've filled up the case, okay? So you see, first of all, Hagar, the servant, she's representing servitude and slavery, okay? So, and she is linked to the old model of faith, where actually God made a covenant with Moses. Okay, so that's why we've got in the text reference to the Mount Sinai, the earthly Jerusalem, etc. So those are standard points. Okay, you know, this was the agreement I made with Moses, okay, where actually you relate to me through the law, okay, and you obey the law. And if you obey the law, I made promises to look after you, to protect you, and to bless you. That was the relationship, basically. And a son, Ishmael, symbolized trying to achieve God's blessing through human effort. Okay? So basically, Ishmael is the product of, okay, by my effort, I took the matters in my own hand, you know, and Ishmael came. Okay? So they represent trying by our own effort. And basically, Paul is saying, if you choose as a Christian to go back to earn God's favor, but following some rules and regulation, it is like going back to this covenant, okay? And actually, this type of faith is slavery to legalism. That means you become again a slave to the law. You're putting yourself in this type of relationship to me. You're choosing, you receive the gospel with grace, but you're choosing to relate to me for a bunch of rules. So you are going back to this old covenant. Okay, oh, I'm making an effort. I make sure I don't do that. I don't swear. I don't do that. And if I do all right, maybe. Yeah? You choose to go back to that, but that's not the gospel. So basically, ineffective in that case, you start to believe that it's your obedience to the law and it's your spiritual practice that will make you able to access God and his blessing. Can you see what I'm saying? That's what he's saying. Okay, in contrast, Sarah is the free woman. So here faith is based on the new covenant. That means we were made a promise for Jesus. We were made a promise of a new birth, of freedom, okay? That's why in the text there's a reference to heavenly Jerusalem. There is a different situation we are in. So her son, you see her son Isaac, symbolized children born through God's promises. Here there's a supernatural intervention of God. There's the grace of God, okay? There's the miracle of God. In the same way that Sarah could not conceive, but there's a miracle happening. So the new covenant, you know, you can't make yourself safe. You have this encounter with God. And that's what's changed you from within. You know, you become a children of the promise. Okay? And so is Isaac, do I pronounce that all right?
Isaac.
Okay. Isaac is the son of the promise. And he represents all the believers today. You know, we are under the new covenant, okay? So we are the son of freedom. When Ishmael, the son of the flesh, when you do your own will, when you do whatever you want, you represent legalism and the old stuff, which basically we know doesn't work. And it's not that the law is not good, there's good principle in the law, but it was always pointing out, I can't do it by myself, I need a savior. So the old covenant was always pointing out to this new, to come, that we can be free. We can change from within. Okay? So it's a big, big, big consequence for the believers, because when you live in the grace of God, okay, you are basically changed from within. You receive this new nature. Okay? And actually, Paul is saying here, if you are believers, he says, cast out the bond. I mean, it's a strange language because we wouldn't talk like that today. But he said, cast out the bond woman. You know, reject legalism. You know, live in the freedom of Christ as heirs of the promises. He said, have nothing to do with legalism. Have nothing to do with it. Live in the goodness of Christ and co-heir with Christ. Change from within. You, all you have to do is surrender to God's will and follow him. Okay? So, you see here, the relationship of the covenant is very different. Instead of just obey law and God in exchange, you know, kind of bless us, you know, here you get permanent forgiveness through the death of Jesus Christ and an internal transformation through the Holy Spirit. And you have access to God, so it's your walk with God. It's listening to him that will transform you. Okay? So we must be certain that our salvation and our forgiveness is through the death of Jesus Christ. And that we keep believing that our transformation comes from a relationship with him, not a relationship with rituals and laws. And you see, that's where many Christians today start well, but they might end up, you know, okay, I'm saved by grace, but now I'm thinking that it's because I read 3 verses a day and I pray and I do this, that's what's going to change me. In reality, all of these things are very, very good things. They're tools, they're means of grace. But what will change you is your relationship with God. Is when you read your 3 verses, are you actually having a relationship with him? Or are you have a relationship with the book or the rules? You see what I'm saying? Does it make sense? We're not saying that, you know, when we Christian this, there's a lot of really good instruction in the Bible. But we're not in relationship with those. We're in relationship with the God, you know, with the living God. Okay? So what we do is, for everything we do, we depend on God. We depend on God. You know, it's really important that to understand, I'll say a little bit more later on, but it's really important to understand that when we are born again, there's a death that happened. There's a death that happened. I say, okay, you know, that's it. I'm gonna reborn into freedom. I'm gonna walk with Christ. And every day there's a death that happened. We put on the new thing. We renew our mind. We ask God, what does he want us to do? And we walk with him by the Spirit. And that's what happened. Okay? So now, the last bit of the chapter is really interesting to me. I honestly never noticed before. And it really jumped out at me. It says, actually, I'm going to not try to operate the thing because I will mess up. It says here, now, you, brothers and sisters, like Isaac, are children of promise. At that time, the son born according to the flesh persecuted the son born by the power of the Spirit. It is the same now. So I want to talk about that little phrase. The son born according to the flesh, so Ishmael, representing legalism and the old covenant and following the rules, yeah, is persecuting the son born by the Spirit. And it is the same now. It's interesting, that little sentence. It is the same now. So I was thinking, how it is the same now? That's why Paul is really, really tough. He said, get rid of legalism. Get rid of it. Well, it is the same now because, and there, I have really 3 things I would like to talk about here. Okay. There's a conflict between, you know, legalism and the gospel of grace. Between old and new, you cannot mix them. There is a conflict. Okay? So, my first point is this one. Fully living by grace will derange many people and the devil himself. People won't like him. The devil itself, he doesn't like it. And I'm going to explain to you why. You know, there will be whisper in your ears, little accusations coming, and say, who do you think you are for trusting the goodness of God like that? Look, you still mess up. Who do you think you are? You're not worthy. Can you see what I'm saying? It's deranging the devil. The devil will come and whisper. People might come and say, huh, you tell yourself you're Christian, but I don't, well, you still do that? Well, you're still doing that? You know, oh, you're still swearing? Oh, I mean, those are not even important. I mean, you know, there's a much worse thing you could do than swearing in life. But you know what I'm saying? So people will come in here and say, are you still doing that? Accusation. It will derange if you really believe. No. Do you know what? Yeah, sometimes I still mess up, but I've been covered by the sacrifice of Jesus. I have access to God. You know, he sees me righteous. He has forgiven me. He has forgiven me, and he will still carry on forgiving me even when I mess up. Accusation. You see, there's a conflict there between legalism and the gospel of grace. The second conflict I see in this category is, have you ever met the special people of God? Have you ever met the special people of God? Who have a special revelation. And you know what? In your faith, you're not doing enough. There's another revelation. They overcomplexify the gospel. Have you ever met those people? You know, say, oh, surely it cannot be that simple that you are forgiven and now you can have access to God and you believe and that's it? Surely it cannot be simple. Let me tell you, you can be more holy by doing X and Y and Z. Why don't you do this and why don't you do that? Let's gently introduce some practice and go back to the old covenant. So you feel so unworthy because you are not doing X, Y, Z. And have you met the special people? I've met lots of Christian special people. We've got to be careful. The gospel of grace is the gospel of grace. We do not depart. Yeah, sometimes God tells us something fresh and say, you know, but that's between you and God. God, if God say, but you know, it would be really good if you spend a little bit more time with me in the morning, so that would set you up. If he says that to you, by all means do it, because that's a relationship, you know? But don't believe the special revelation people will overcomplicate. And again, then you go back to earning the favor of God by doing something extra. Then another one is, have you met the behavior police? Have you met the behavior police? Oh my gosh. I mean, this was my favorite one when I was a teenager. The behavior police, right? The one who says, don't wear this, don't cut your hair. I mean, you know, I'm talking when I was young, you know, that's a little bit gone. But you know, the ones say, oh, this is not appropriate for a Christian. Oh, you know, the behavior police. That's the behavior police. That means to be a good Christian, you must do that. You must have that. You must not do that. Usually you must not do, okay? Again, this is a conflict with the gospel of grace. This is the conflict with, you know, let people be the people. God is perfectly able to talk to them about their behavior and whatever they do. Because God is God. Okay? So that's the first one. Living by the grace of God will derange the devil and it will derange other people. You've got to stand firm. Know who you are, that you are people of freedom. God has forgiven you. Your relationship with him, you are worthy of it. Because of the sacrifice of Jesus, you can have a relationship with God. There's no doubt about it. And he loves you. He is for you. Yeah, the gospel is simple. Know God and learn to recognize his voice. And when you hear him, follow him. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. It's very important, even what we're saying, when you read your Bible, okay? I know plenty of people who read their Bible a lot. But the problem is when they read their Bible, they have their old covenant glasses on. Do you get me? So basically the filter, they read the New Testament or the New, and the filter is the old covenant. So when they read an advice or a tip, then that becomes a law and you have to do, and you have to do in your own thought. That's reading the Bible with the old covenant glasses. We've got to be strong in the gospel of grace. Absolutely. Now the second thing, which is really illustrating why. Old covenant and new covenant, they are two different operating systems. They're two different operating, if you were in IT, you would understand even more. You know? But they're two operating systems. Here, you cannot mix them. Here, you cannot mix them if you want to live the benefit of the gospel. If you want to live with joy and peace and all the good things, you cannot mix the operating system. Okay? Otherwise, if you mix them, what's going to happen is you'll end up like a miserable Christian. Okay? So, let me just give an instruction. Hang in with this. It's not perfect, but let's say, for example, I give you the brand new iPhone 17 Pro Max. If you're a Galaxy person, what is the last model? I don't know. Who cares? iPhone is... No, sorry. Okay, so, but the latest model iPhone, okay? And you see, mixing your covenant would be going like, whoa, that's really good. Let's put it in a drawer. But what I'm going to do, watch me. What I'm going to do is I'm going to run all these brand new apps on my Motorola Brick of 1984. You know this one, have you ever seen Trigger Happy TV? Hello! he's got that phone, he's like this, you know. That's what you're doing. If you're mixing your covenant, that's what you're doing. Basically, it's going to be enormously frustrating. You might barely be able to get a phone call. You might be able to still get a phone call, I don't know. But that's about it. And then you will be frustrated because you say, well, can't make this work, that doesn't work. Or let's try a bit harder so it would work. But literally what you've done is you were handed this beautiful thing who works if you dare to use it properly. It worked. But what you did is, oh, thank you very much. And now I'm going to try to go into this old thing to try to make it work by myself. Well, you're going to be miserable. And that's what we see so many. I mean, have you seen, do you know miserable Christian? Too many, exactly. That's because they're doing that. Because basically, if you want the benefit of the kingdom, if you want the joy, if you want the peace, there's a surrender, isn't it? You've got to say, okay, God, death to myself. I accept I need to use the first, this model of iPhone rather than this brick. Even if you love the brick very much, even if you think the brick is lovely, you know, and you say, oh, look at this design, it's so good. And, you know, even if you love the brick, you know, just say, okay, death to myself, I'm going to do what God says, I'm taking the gospel of grace. Okay? And that's why it's frustrating and it doesn't work. And as well, you cannot change. You're doing a lot of effort and you bang your head and it's not working. And, you know, for example, when you are saved by grace, you are called to live in freedom, for example. So, for example, one of the big things of the gospel, I mean, I can't go into it right now, but is that sin does not have power over you. Oh, that's a big declaration. Sin has got no power over me. Okay? So, actually, when we are saved by the gospel of grace, we don't spend our life avoiding sin. We believe for more. We say, okay, sin has got no power over me. Help me to work out the areas. You know, you basically collaborate with the Holy Spirit to get rid of all of the crap, excuse me. And then what you do is you say, okay, fill me up with much more, like grace and joy and all the gift of the Spirit. And you're hoping for much more than just avoiding sin. You know, often the people who live in the old confidence and the legalism, you know, they span the limb and say, oh, I've got to behave well, I mustn't do that, I must. They concentrate just on sin. But we are called to much more. First thing, you know, is, you know, we're not slaves to sin. Sin has got no power over us. And as well, we have an inheritance. We are children of the promise, we have an inheritance, okay? And this inheritance doesn't work if we don't believe in our adoption, that we are really having a relationship with the Father, okay? So it's all of these things that he is, you know, upgrade in that sense. You know, in the old, in this new covenant, you have an upgrade. It's so much better, okay? And your freedom, that's another point that is really important, is your freedom, your inheritance is for the glory of God. It's for the glory of Christ and the glory of God. It is not for yourself. See, that's another thing as well I see among Christian a lot, is in the old operating system, it's very much like, what can I do to get people God's favor? What can I do to get people, God's blessing? So what you're doing is you have not died to self. That's what it is. It's always still for you, and you're concerned about you and your salvation and your blessing. You're in the old operating legalism system. In the new system, a death has happened. You know, I'm raised up with Christ. I now follow the Father. And actually now, I work from the favor of God. I don't work for the favor of God. There's a massive difference. So everything I do now, it's from the favor of God. Because I love him, he loves me, I know I'm blessed, my freedom is extending, my joy is extending. So I basically develop this relationship. But it's all for the glory of his name. It's not for me. Yeah? So let me let you with this last bit, really. The most important lesson for you and me here is to learn about what kind of sonship have we got? What is it that we're living by? Are we Isaacs or are we Ishmael? Which son are we? Or which daughter are you? Okay, are you a son or a daughter of the slave woman? Or are you a son and daughter of freedom? That is the big question in this passage. If you are a son and daughter of freedom, you need to kick in the butt all legalism and make sure that everything you do in your life, you do it in a relationship with God, asking his counsel, know him, get to know him, get to know him personally. Hear, listen, and obey, by the way. It's not just, oh, I'm listening. Thank you, Jesus, bye. You know, there is a relationship that develops there. Okay? So, let me just finish with a few questions. Maybe if you find it appropriate, you can close your eyes and just listen to this question. This is how I'm going to land. Okay. So, let me ask you this question. Do you know that you are working from the favor of God and not for the favor of God? That you are already blessed, that you are already accepted, that he loves you, that he has forgiven you. Do you know that? Do you know that you do not have to beg for Father's blessing? All you have to do is ask. You don't have to beg him. You don't have to beg, because that's his heart to bless you. Do you know that you do not need to fear punishment? Do you know that you don't need to fear punishment, because that's what Jesus was for? He put the punishment of Jesus. So as long that you say, okay, I accept that Jesus has taken the punishment for me, you are forgiven. And so when you mess up, what do? You run to the throne of grace. That's what the Bible says. You run to the throne of grace and say, well, I'm sorry, I messed up again. Thank you, you have died for my forgiveness. Help me change. Show me how. Show me how. Show me how to change. Show me how to change. Help me daily to have strength so I would make steps in areas where I need to change. Help me every day. It's a daily thing. You know? Do you live for more than just not sinning? Do you live for more? Because God's got lots more for you, you know? He wants to reveal things. He wants to reveal himself to us. He wants to transform it for his glory, but as well for the world. That's why we do mission, so that the people would know the love of God. And they would have a chance to themselves encounter the light and the transformation of Christ. That's the only reason. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Wow. Thank you, Father, that you love us so much that you sent your only Son, so that through him we would be saved by grace, that through him we would have direct access to you. Thank you, God, that you are ever present in our lives. And thank you that you are willing to reveal yourself. You are willing to speak to us. You are willing to show yourself to us, but as well the areas where we need to change for your glory. But I pray, Father, that you would help us to live in the freedom of the children of God. You know, like children of the promises, that we wouldn't be judgmental of others, that we wouldn't be, that we wouldn't be the one who do the accusation, or we wouldn't be the one who think we've got to do special thing and follow prescription, but our faith would be alive in you, that our faith would be alive in you. We just thank you. We worship you, Jesus. Amen.